A meditator is definitely a karma yogi. But a karma yogi is not a meditator. Understand? Because a karma yogi performs activities, but there's no meditation here. I'm wondering, his karma becomes a meditation. What makes this life, look at this now, karma, performance of actions with the proper attitude, two important attitudes, commitment to dharma, performance of activities, actions in conformity with dharma, and with Ishwara Arpana Bhavana and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana. In performing actions, Arpana Bhavana. In accepting results, there is a Prasada Bhavana. This attitude. This itself is what now? This is a focus, because moksha is the end, jnanam is the end. That means that becomes a worship. So living a life of karma yoga means karma becomes, the actions you perform becomes worship. It's a form of worship. Then you call it, is it clear now? The actions performed in conformity with dharma, with the proper Ishwara Arpana Bhavana or Ishwara Arpana Buddhi or Ishwara Prasada Buddhi, converts the actions into yoga, a preparatory discipline. Then, with the Purushartha Nischaya for the knowledge, to prepare one's mind for jnanam, one performs his actions, duties with the proper attitude. Then that action itself becomes worship. Then we can call work is worship. That is when we call it a bhakti. Karma as yoga is bhakti, because it is a worship. I want to bring that word here today. I want to make it very clear. Performance of actions. You have to remember one thing. With the purushartha nischayaha, with the commitment to the live a life of dharma, performance of actions with the proper attitude. In performance, there's a proper attitude. In receiving the results, accepting the results, there's a proper attitude. This actions with this attitude converts the actions into a preparatory discipline. Then you call it a yoga. And as yoga, we call it worship. Okay? Worship. Work is worship. Then the karma yoga is also what? Karma yoga, form of devotion. Bhakti. Bhakti in the form of living a life of karma yoga. Then meditation comes, upasana. A karma yogi can be, you know, eka rupa ishwara upasana or vishwa rupa ishwara upasana. Definitely meditation, the purely mind is involved here. In the meditation also, because when you practice this meditation, not as an ultimate end, you are not interested in the result of meditation in terms of, you are dependent on the results of meditations here, as going to higher lokas or, you know, enjoying some siddhi powers. No, worship of Ishwara here, the meditation upon Ishwara, either in one given form or as the whole, Ishwarupa Ishwara Upasanam, or Ekrupa Ishwara Upasanam, is Rupa Upasana, means it's a Saguna Brahma Upasana. Ishwara with the attributes. And this meditation involves a division. This meditated, Upasaka, Upasya, difference is there. Therefore, this also becomes a yoga. Only if there's a proper attitude, only if the purushartha nischaya is there. If you are definite about the end being moksha, you're committed to the pursuit of knowledge, moksha in terms of knowledge, then the practice of meditation also becomes a preparatory discipline, a yoga. Then you call it a worship. Well, it's a mental activity or a physical activity. It becomes a preparatory discipline, yoga, if there's a proper attitude and a commitment is to the pursuit of ultimately to Bhagavan is the ultimate end, Paramaha. You call it Upasana is also worship, a form of worship. Devotion in the form of meditation. Devotion in the form of performance of actions, bhakti. Suppose without Purusharthan Nishchaya, without the discovery of Bhagavan, without having discovery of Bhagavan as the goal, without having any interest in jnanam, there are people who practice meditation, think it's good for them. It will help them resolve this stress. Stress relieving exercise. It will be a mere stress relieving exercise. It cannot be called a preparatory discipline. It is not yoga. There are lots and lots and lots of people all over the world practice meditation. But they don't have Purushartha Nischaya. They don't think knowing the reality is moksha. They don't think moksha, the freedom, the happiness is already there as their own sarupam. They do not connect. There's no connection. They do not know the value of dharma. They may be ethical, they may not be ethical. But they are very serious practitioners of meditation. I know lots of people who practice in the Western world meditation. Very seriously they practice meditation. And so practicing meditation without Purushartha Nischaya, without having moksha as the goal, without connecting it to Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Ishvara is nothing but non-reality, which is their own sorupam. With that understanding, if a person simply is given to the practice of meditation, then object of meditation is not Ishvara. It is only a mere mental exercise which will help to relieve their stress and all. Temporary relief. They may have some temporary relief from stress. It can be useful, but it is not. You cannot call it a preparatory discipline for jnanam. You cannot call it a yoga. It's a mental exercise. If it is a yoga, preparatory discipline, you call it a yoga, then it is a worship. In the same way, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, of course. Shravanam itself, listening to the unfoldment of scriptures also sometimes, it will become a mere intellectual exercise. Practice of meditation will be a mental exercise, intellectual exercise. academic pursuit. If moksha is not the Purushartha and Bhagavan is not the end. A lot of people study philosophy. Simply, a lot of people study because their interests are curious. They do not connect it to moksha, they do not connect it to Bhagavan. There's no end. There's no Purushartha for them. Purushartha means this ultimate human goal. Now, I'm living this life for accomplishing this goal. Whether I accomplish in this Janma or not, I have made up my mind 100% clearly. The human life is lived ultimately for discovering moksha. At least I make all possible efforts. If this Janma I miss, I pick up the thread where I live. Next Janma, somewhere you must have touched. Otherwise you would not come to the Gita class. This is how many people are there? Some 8-9 people come and sit in front of me and listen to me. In spite of that, the teaching being not very interesting and impressive, still we all come in. Even though it's very boring, repeated, things are repeated. Still we come and listen. Why? Because what makes you come for this class? Some punyam somewhere you had. I shouldn't have come to the classes. That itself is expression of what? Somewhere you must have touched it and you picked up the thread where you left and you're continuing. Satyam. This is Satyam. I have no doubt about it. Some bond. No, otherwise, I wouldn't have come here. Somewhere you picked up. It means if this wish must be very clear. Okay, I try my best. Now don't need to worry about anything. Oh my God, what a accomplishment, commitment to the pursuit of the end, ultimate end, moksha in terms of knowledge should not cause any stress. Okay, I am on the right track. I know there is no sukham, happiness in anything anywhere else in the world. That is my own sorupam. I need to discover, which is a spiritual end. It's not a material end. But I'm interested in accomplishing material ends for living this life. And I look at every material end I achieve also in my life, other than the knowledge of the self, anything I achieve is what? A material end. So fame, name, popularity, awards, or wealth, you know, whatever you achieve in life, anything is what? Relative success. It's all Bhagavan's grace, Bhagavan's blessing, Bhagavan's prasada, which you enjoy, what you deserve. It's all time-bound, temporary. Is it? That's very clear. So, with that end is very clear, we should be convinced of moksha being your ultimate, choiceless, human goal, human end. If that doubt is there, better you start again Bhagavad Gita from chapter 1, or introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Conviction must be there. Then, even if you do not achieve anything in this life, you will pick up, definitely this life will be a contributive life, the preparatory life. It will not be a waste life, lived waste, you know, not a waste of wasted. Somewhere it has contributed for some growth. So you will pick up the thread again where you leave, will continue the next jhanma. Is it clear? Whatever dharma, anushtanam you go with, definitely will come back the same desire for living a life of dharma. That is why here that must be very clear. The upasana also becomes an end. Otherwise, upasana will be only an exercise. And shravanam also will be a mere academic pursuit. If it will not become a spiritual end, if moksha being the ultimate end is not very clear, and knowledge is moksha must be very clear, and then the study of the shastram with the reverence for the shastram as a means of knowledge of the truth. And knowledge of the truth is moksha, which is your goal. Having it as a goal, your lived whole life is lived for that. That is very clear. Then even shravanam becomes, then jnanam becomes, but pursuit of knowledge also becomes a yoga. Jnana yogaha, if the moksha is very clear. Otherwise, shravanam itself will be what now? Academic pursuit, intellectual exercise, very intelligent or logically thinking, logical, highly logical. Arrogance also along with that. The more you become, arrogance also will be there. That's why Bhagavan has to be brought in. Then Shravanam becomes what? My God, Shastra Shravanam is the highest form of, much higher form of worship. Puja, there's no physical activity involved here. It is what? It is inquiry into the nature of reality, which is subject, Bhagavan, subject matter of the Shastram. And this is a Jnana Yajna, and this is the exalted form of devotion. Okay, love for Bhagavan expressed his devotion. So love for, and said now love for Bhagavan, express this devotion. In what form to express your love for Bhagavan? In living a life of dharma. In the form of living a life of dharma. In the form of offering all your activities to Bhagavan as yoga, as offering to Bhagavan. In accepting everything which comes in your life as gift, you are expressing a devotion to Bhagavan. Love for Bhagavan. Which is a devotion. Then when you dwell upon Bhagavan as the whole, you're expressing a love for Bhagavan. That is a form of expression of your devotion. Love. It's a devotion. You're worshipping and praying and then meditating upon Bhagavan in one given form. You know very well Bhagavan is not just a tiny little form, but this form symbolizes Bhagavan. When you do, then that is expression of your love for Bhagavan, which is a devotion. Then Shravanam. When you do Shravanam, there is only mind is involved. There's no physical activity involved here. Only listening, understanding, sitting. So this unfoldment, listening to the unfoldment of the Shastram itself is what? Ajnanam, the pursuit of knowledge, becomes a discipline which contributes for the resolution of ignorance, which is a discipline when you call it a Jnana Yoga, and which is the highest form of worship, wherein you see Bhagavan not as an object, as your own Swarupam. In every class you listen, there's a self-enquiry. Enquiring to the Bhagavan is enquiring to the nature of the reality, which is enquiring into your own Swarupam, which is when you see Bhagavan as your Swarupam. So it's the highest form of devotion, Shastra Shravanam. And the next, actually, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, of course, are the extra additional added steps for you to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. The knowledge rises, and because of some pratibandha, some obstacles, the doubts will continue to be doubt, knowledge will be doubtful. And repeated dwelling, reflecting upon what you have heard, will help you strengthen, confirm your knowledge, reinforce the knowledge, the doubts will be clarified. Then the clear knowledge, again, you make effort to resolve to all your problems. There are all added steps. This pursuit of knowledge called Jnana Yogaha, or inquiry into the nature of reality, therefore it's called Akshara Yogaha. In Bhagavad's 12th chapter, Jnana Yoga is called Akshara Yoga. Okay, because inquiry into the nature of the reality as one's own Swarupam. That's why Jnana Yogi is called Akshara Yogi also. And this fifth level or a sixth level of the discipline, the series of, disciplines, is the highest form of discipline, and it also becomes what? Yoga, a discipline, as a preparatory discipline, as the means of attainment of knowledge. It also is called yoga. Then it is the highest form of expression of one's love for Bhagavan in terms of the Shastram, which is bhakti. So bhakti yoga, now karma yoga rupa bhaktihi, upasana yoga rupa bhaktihi, jnana yoga rupa bhaktihi. Bhakti in the form of karma yoga, bhakti in the form of upasana yoga, bhakti in the form of jnana yoga. But highest form of bhakti, bhakti is not one given specific distinct path to reach Bhagavan. Bhakti is a name given to whole range of all the entire range of disciplines together contribute for the attainment of the knowledge step by step. So people mistake what? Going to the temple. Going to the temple is fantastic, no doubt about it. Some people think Shastra study is not required. It's an intellectual exercise. It's a bookish knowledge. You don't need a Shastra study. You don't need to do anything. No, okay, live a life of dharma. That's enough. That's good. Definitely you have to live a life of dharma. Don't harm anybody. Live a life of dharma. I don't need to go to temple. Don't need to worship Bhagavan. Don't need to study Shastram. Some people say being ethical is enough. Of course, Shastram definitely says without being ethical, there's no way of going near Bhagavan. Righteousness, dharma, ethics is highly emphasized. But some people think being ethical itself is enough. No. One has to be ethical along with, ethics. What one needs is Shastra Shravanam is important. Shastra Shravanam is important. Some people think whether you live a life of dharma or not, worship and pray, go to all the temples, put a lot of money in the undi, bribe Bhagavan also, go for pilgrimage, go to temples, that is bhakti they think. Some people think no, we have to be all the time chant and then think, that's very good, very, very good, chanting and all, but that is not enough, I'm saying. chant, do learn the stotras, learn the chant the stotras, chant the mantras, go to temples, and then go on. And also every day cry to Bhagavan. Cry. Hold on to Bhagavan's feet and cry. And people like also, people who come, somebody comes and emotionally blackmail you, and then they like that. In a way, what I'm saying, nothing, but there we should be very conscious. See, really a person who is given to the Shastra study will not look down upon anybody. We will not look at anything as inferior or superior. We are not judgment about anything. We look at everything as it is without thinking negative, without adding value to anything we see, without reducing the value of anything it has, without undermining it or overestimating it, seeing everything as it is. You focus on your life, how you are progressing. You see how much you are able to place your mind in Shastra. How much I can place my mind in Shastra. I'm not judging the world. And I'm very conscious, I'm very prudent enough not to be exploited, emotionally blackmailed, or brainwashed by others. At the same time, I don't disrespect others' values and views and contentions. Allow other person to have his view and value. I respect the person with due respect to the person, all the value views that the person has. Still, I hold on to Shastram for my guidance. See, what happened when I respect other person's view means we become followers of other person's views. No. We don't follow anybody's views. We only follow Shastra. And you individually pray to Bhagavan. Nice to have priests, giving dakshina to priests, having the pujas done by them. But how are you able to sit and do? Not a big elaborate pujas. Don't need to do. No, but at least you're able to sit in the puja room, light the lamp, and now you know what to pray for. Because the end is very clear, where happiness is. Now you know the value of dharma. So now you know what to pray for. That's why from day one I came this country, I've been seeing you people. I've been telling always the best thing. I mean, my mother said, what you can do is you pray for your children that they should be able to understand dharma and live a life of dharma wherever they are. And a thing like your strong thoughts, a mother's thoughts. Really, because that will help them. Therefore, what is bhakti should not be now. Even now, the topic is over. No way, I told you, until the 12th was only, we have the bhakti yoga as the topic. Afterwards only, bhakti yoga phalam, jnana phalam is going to come. We have covered 11 verses. Huh? Yeah, one more verse is that I do tomorrow. This, definitely, all these things you should remember. Because no doubt, so you can worship Bhagavan in any form. In Mahatmas, you have somebody you know, definitely you can worship Bhagavan, have them as altar for Bhagavan, you can worship. But one should, you should remember, no Mahatma, nobody in the world, nobody can really give you happiness. Peace. Any Mahatma, you can follow their lifestyle, how they lived, how they followed Dharma, that all you can follow. What you need is, okay, this, it is jnana. So for which Shastram is the means. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.